I'm very glad to be here with you and those of you I did not get to say that to last night. So I feel very close to your community of practitioners. I'm going to repeat some of the things I said last night so that we can all start on the same page, more or less. And the first idea, there's a number of ideas or understandings or pointing outs involved in this weekend. The first one is that we are learning how to be more skillful in being ready to explore our relationship with objects. So this teaching of being available is the establishing the capacity, the momentum, the inspiration, the ground for relating to all of the objects that arise in the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, which of course includes the Four Noble Truths and many other things, the hindrances, the awakening factors, all of our experience of body and mind, all of that is contained in the teachings of the Buddha of the four establishments or foundations of mindfulness. So that is, we are learning how to prepare ourselves and maintain what we create as an empowerment of practice, that we maintain that as when we go through and explore. So we will be looking at body, we'll be looking at breath, we'll look at emotions, we'll look at even our own vitality. We'll do a lot of examination of our relationship to objects, but each time we will have first established ourselves so that we are ready, we are prepared, we are aligned in such a way that we can have an insightful relationship, and a compassionate, wise relationship with the experiences that we have in life. The question came up last night is about how much we have choice in life, and that is a philosophical question that can lead us astray. When we notice that we have a degree of choice, we cultivate that degree of choice. We are seeing where we seem to be able to make a difference for ourselves. I'm a big believer that there is choice based on experience. So I have a degree of faith, would be a better way to put it, based on experience, confirmed faith in relation to choice. But others would argue that, there's an allusion to that or so forth. But the Buddha's teachings would not really work the way he presented them to us were there not choice. So by being here, you're already placed your bets that there is some degree of freedom as how we relate to our experience. And that degree, although modest, makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world in terms of freedom from greed and wanting, aversion, any kind of anger, hatred, and with moving us away from delusion. So bringing yourself into your meditation posture, if you do a relaxation at the beginning, you can do that relaxation. And we begin. Arriving. Arriving. Arriving where? Here. Arriving here. in the room in which you sit, in the larger surround of sitting in community electronically. Arriving in your internal experience, not demanding that your internal experience be different, not objecting to the difficulty of the external circumstances. We're not in person after all the years of our being in person in December. Not objecting, letting loose, letting go. Arriving here, now. Now, this moment, this time. This flow of time that we call present, the eternal present. Time always only here and now, and yet can be experienced as this very moment, now, and now, and now. Or as a flow of now, a stream, flowing moments, never the same, but always the next moment is there, as long as we're embodied. The felt sense of here and now. Bring mindfulness front and center while you are here and now, while you are present, deliberately, wisely. May mindfulness be front and center of my experience. Arriving, you start to feel the emergence of the mindfulness. There comes a feeling of being present. That at least this moment, I am here and I know I am here. In this moment, I am in the now, the flow of the now, and I know I'm in the flow of the now. There is an aliveness of that. There's a vitality. One is slowly becoming available to the moment. It feels both impersonal and personal. You feel what available means in terms of object, because the mindfulness is so strong, so steady, not perfect, but good enough, that this felt sense of being available to know objects, to understand how we're relating to objects that arise in the mind. Objects could also be substituted with the word experiences that arise in the mind heart, if you like that better, if that feels more gentle than this word objects. At some point in the arriving, you have arrived, and there is this feeling of being able to have a knowing relationship and have a relatedness to whatever arises in the mind. And most importantly, that one has choice as to how one wishes to relate. Choices is how one does relate in any given moment to our experience. Sitting, walking, in between times, and in all of our daily lives. And with this realization, there's choice. Again, the encouragement is a felt sense of choice. I get what he means. I can choose how I'm considering my experience. Understanding, having a felt sense of choice, one aligns with something larger than the ego, larger than our sensate needs, our sensory needs through the senses, something larger than the habits of mind that we have, something more immense than the things we've been conditioned to believe in, conditioned to perceive in a certain way. In our tradition, we're aligning with the Dhamma. If you get a felt sense of that aligning by just thinking, feeling your relationship for Dhamma, your trust in it or your love for it, for the refuges, that's enough. For myself, and what I encourage, if it's appropriate, is that you align with the first two of the Eightfold Path, wise view and wise intention. Wise view is directional. It is our aspiration. Wise intention is this very moment, here and now. And our intention, based on our values, as to how we respond to this moment here and now. It's mindfulness, sati, that allows us to have this direct relationship. That's so important that we've established it. Having aligned with the Dhamma, the way we relate to what arises is with Dhamma eyes and Dhamma ears, a Dhamma heart that can quickly quiver when it experiences suffering of another, that can flow with metta, that can be light and joyous with sympathetic joy, that can stay steady, stay balanced when there's turmoil in the mind or heart. Thus we are aligned. This choice, this availability is now larger, more grounded. In fact, this is the first ground. We become grounded before we meet the various experiences that we all encounter in a meditation sit, or a walk, or in daily life. This felt sense of being grounded in something larger . This is availability. This is being available to life. Again, using repeatedly this phrase of the felt sense. Available to meet life, capable, choosing to meet the experiences of mind heart as they arise. This I have chosen, and I know I have chosen it. No matter how modest, this sense of availability is here, here and now. It can be quite modest or quite strong. And I know that I'm available. That availability is here. Resting in, grounded in our own mindfulness, our own aspiration, and our own intention. Feel that. Now turn attention towards the experiences, starting with the body. Body sensations arise, and they're known. You may experience the body as a whole, as a form, the uprightness of the body, or the shape of the body. Or you may experience body as the sensations, various sensations. For myself, it's not body as a concept, but as a direct experience. This is where the insight arises, through this directly experiencing this intuitive knowing. This is what the Buddha teaches. Available to the experience of the body. Awareness is embodied in the here and now. Bring awareness to the lower part of the body, the pelvic area, feeling the sit bones in the chair, the bench, cushion. This is the earth element. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element in the pelvic area. All the bones of the pelvis. The upper leg bones. Through skin, through flesh, to the very bones. Earth element, hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. The knees and the lower leg, those two lower leg bones in each leg. Through skin, through flesh, to the bones. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. The ankles, the feet, the toes. So many different bones. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. You may feel this as though you're sitting in the bones. It's an old Zen expression. And now the upper body. You can feel the skull. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. The shoulders and the upper arms and the lower arms. Weight underside in these arms. Not holding them up, but letting them be relaxed. Weight underside. All these bones, the shoulder joint, the humerus, and the two lower arm bones in each arm, all the mini bones in the wrist and hands and fingers. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element. Earth element. The spine. Hard, firm, heavy. Sitting in the bones. Earth element. Earth element. Available to knowing earth element. Here and now. Relating to the direct experience of earth element here and now, not our views and opinions. It's very different, this direct experience. And now, if you will, please, let the earth element rest on earth. Inviting it, releasing it. The earth element rest on earth. You may feel this as ease in breath, either in the abdomen, the spine being more responsive, or in the chest, or there's less tension in the neck. Or you may not have any particular affect, but you are knowing the experience of the earth element resting on earth. What do we directly experience? For myself, it is a sense of steadiness. That this earth element is steady. As I go deeper, it's a stillness. So steady, so still. I feel the groundedness that's innate by definition in the earth element. And the body resting on earth. Available to knowing this experience. And knowing that we're available. The attention is on the experience. But the sense of this available awareness is part of the experience. In the midst of the stillness, many of us will experience the presence of the wind element in the form of breath. We've trained to notice that, trained to concentrate with it. At this moment, utilizing its familiarity, feel yourself being available to experience the wind element through the breath as though you'd never known it before. You are available to freshly know. It's not supposed to feel a certain way, what's being asked of you. It's the way you experience it. Knowing the wind element through movement. The stillness of the earth element reveals, points to, balances the wind element, stillness and movement, stillness and movement, available to know stillness and movement. For the rest of this sit, you can take these two as they interplay as your object of meditation. For some, it's just the earth element in being so still, so grounded. For others, it's just the wind element, the breath. And then for still others, it's this flowing between. The mind can become so content because it's collected and unified If you start to comment on your experience, have a view or an opinion about it or a rating of it, just let that go. You're staying available for the direct experience, for the felt sense. If the mind gets excited and wanders away, just gently bring it back. Remember that you're making a choice. Choose to be with the immediacy of these two elements. You're not supposed to think of them in a certain way. It's not like that. It's the knowing. Knowing the very characteristics. So arriving where? In the here and now. Arriving requiring being built on and around mindfulness to the point that one knows one is available for having a kind of curious kind of deliberateness to how one is relating to whatever happens. You're in a hurry to go somewhere, and there's never a traffic jam here, and it's a traffic jam, and you're helpless, and you're going to be late, and it's got whatever consequence it's going to happen. You're available for that experience, to feel it, and to feel all the frustration or the judging yourself or fussing at other people or whatever it is. You're available to see it clearly, to feel it, like, this is suffering. This is suffering. This reactive mind is suffering. And because you're available in this way, you then have this, oh, is there choice here? Is this my only choice of how I'm relating to being in this traffic jam and being late? Is there any other way do I have choices to how I relate to it? And over time, more and more you have choice as to how you relate to your experience, because you're available to it directly, and therefore you're not separated from yourself, and you're aligned with a higher aspiration. What higher aspiration? To choose non-suffering over suffering. That's the importance of the alignment. Otherwise, our strategy is to get what we want as best we can and avoid what we don't want as best we can, and judge ourselves for that or others or feel sorry for ourselves or whatever happens. And so we learn. We slowly learn. But if we're not available for practice, if we're not available for learning, if we're not grounded in this aligned availability, if we're not grounded, therefore, in the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, you know, there's so many other reasons with things are stimulating to us. So we want to be with what's stimulating. So we start our meditation with establishing this, but then in time we learn to start our day by establishing the very same thing. It's just another kind of practice. All of life is practice. And we learn that. And we learn that when we treat it as practice, actually, it turns out better for ourselves and others. Because we don't get caught. We don't cling. We don't grasp. We don't thirst as much, as often, as intensely. Just being available to life, not thinking we're going to conquer it. But we can choose, to a degree, how we're relating to it.